The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time now for a smart, plain talk regarding politics, Israel, and the law. This is the Victory Hour with Andrew Parker of Parker Daniels Keyboard. Wise counsel, winning results. Now, here's your host, Andrew Parker.
I'm impressed with my attorney, Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections, and I follow.
It's Sunday, 4 o'clock, and that means it's the best hour in radio of the week. It is the Victory Hour each Sunday. As you know, because many of you are regulars, we talk politics, Israel, and the law. And we talk about public policy issues with those at the point of the spear, with those in decision-making positions, and also those watching closely. So if you listen, you're bound to learn something. And today you're going to learn a lot, as we are honored to have with us special guest, return guest of many times, even before he was first elected to the 8th Congressional District here in the state of Minnesota. Congressman Pete Stauber joins us on the Victory Hour to talk about what's going on in Congress and what are those in northeastern Minnesota, what are they thinking about the crazy way in which this country has unfortunately devolved, at least at the presidential level, in the last 3+ years, in terms of what's going on at the border, what's going on at the grocery store, at the pumps, what's going on in the streets with crime and more so law enforcement, or I should say lack of law enforcement. And Congressman Pete Stauber knows about all of these things, particularly the last one, and it has affected northeastern Minnesota. Welcome to the Victory Hour, Pete.
Thank you very much, Andrew. It's great to be with you this weekend.
So I did want to start there. I was reading an article this past week that really caught my attention because it talked about the U.S. judicial system, justice system, not just judicial system, but the entire justice system, and how two of the most important players in our justice system, at least, but two in particular, have been entirely undermined. One is the point of the spear, the law enforcement officer out on the street enforcing law and order as developed by our democratic system. And then the other is the prosecutor who engages in prosecutorial discretion. And sane prosecutors now across this country have been replaced by those who are required to prosecute and enforce our laws, whose whole position and policy direction is to not do so. And in fact, to allow the criminals to control. Is this affecting northeastern Minnesota at all?
Well, Andrew, it's not only affecting northeastern Minnesota, it's affecting the entire country, right? So I'm one of only two members of Congress that have ever worn the law enforcement uniform. And some of your listeners may remember that I was shot in the head on in 1995. And during another incident while on duty, the suspect got the drop on me and pulled the trigger. By the grace of God, it did not go off. And so the men and women in law enforcement deserve our admiration and respect and our support. We have to have political leaders that support law enforcement. And with that being said, we must hold law enforcement accountable. Nobody dislikes a bad cop more than a good cop. Trust me on that.
Right.
I've lived it. I've worn the uniform. But you also bring up something very, very interesting. You talk about prosecutors. You know, when I was shot in the head in December 95, the federal prosecutor out of Minneapolis did not charge that career criminal with a felon in possession of a handgun. That was the federal crime. He wouldn't do it. And our
unbelievable.
Our investigative bureau in Duluth was so upset. We couldn't figure out why this federal prosecutor wouldn't prosecute. So it goes back a while. We're just seeing it's more prevalent now, what you're seeing with prosecutors slapping the wrists of these violent criminals. And in, by the way, some states, there's no bail. So you just you go in, you get to sign the paperwork and out you go. You're actually out of jail before the officers get their reports into their respective bureaus. And what's happening, Andrew, is that is devastating to law enforcement, and it's devastating to the safety and security of the community.
There's no question about it. And it's happening, you know, in 95, it may be in isolated situations. And unfortunately, in your situation, it is now so prevalent. It is actually occurring more often than not as these George Soros funded prosecutors are being elected in most and some of our largest cities across this country. And it's ruining those cities, one-time great cities.
Andrew, it's happening in Minnesota, and it's happening in big and small towns. It has hit the entire country. Look at what's happening with the trooper Ryan Londrigan in Hennepin County. He was doing his job, and there was a use of force expert that the attorney general, Hennepin County attorney, has used in the past. That has opined that he used the force that was necessary to save the life of his officer. And she refused. She actually said, okay, we don't need your services because it didn't fit her narrative.
That's right.
This is why the recruitment, retention, and morale in law enforcement, Andrew, is down the drain right now. Because we have prosecutors, rather than prosecuting violent career criminals to help make our streets and our community safe, they go after the cop. And this is an instant that the trooper should not be in this position, nor should his family. It's unacceptable. And I've said Mary Moriarty should resign in disgrace for her tack on law enforcement, period.
Well, that's Congressman Pete Stauber speaking to what we now are seeing across the country, but certainly here in Minnesota, left-wing prosecutors who are not doing their job, who are attacking those who are serving us to protect us and to apply law to all of us equally across the board, and they're... They arrest people and they're let out. No charges are brought. And these are violent criminals.
Well, Andrew, the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association that represents many of the men and women in the blue and brown across our state, they had a survey. 80% of the officers that took the survey said they would not support their son or daughter getting into the profession. That's because of this defund the police movement, the animosity towards law enforcement. And, you know, since just in the state of Minnesota, Andrew, since 2019, assaults on the men and women in law enforcement across our state have doubled.
It's an outrage. It's an absolute outrage. And at the foundation of all of this, when this sort of thing happens, when the hollowing out of our law enforcement community, both at the prosecutorial level and at the policing level, hollows out. What happens is, and laws are not enforced, what happens is it allows the loudest and the most criminal element of our society to take over. And so you see it in the protests as it relates to the Middle East, and you see the allowing these crazy fanatics to go on and on well beyond freedom of speech rights when they have no right to do it. And it allows for revolution. Forget about opposition or protest. For revolution. And that is a problem. It's undermining and it's intentional. And I hate to sound like Joe McCarthy, but this is a communist principle that has existed for decades, and it is now coming with seedlings to grow here in this country. We're talking to Congressman Pete Stauber, and we're going to be right back after this short break. We talked about crime. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk Middle East and politics and what Pete's doing on his on the various committees he sits in the U.S. Congress. And as far as politics, will the Republicans be able to expand their very, very slimmest of majorities in the House of Representatives during the upcoming election? Make sure to stay with us. We'll be back after this short break. Go to ParkerDK.com, Parker Daniels Keyboard, premier litigation law firm, downtown Minneapolis. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's the Victory Hour. Thank you for joining us. Jot this down. Next week, we will have Majority Whip of the Minnesota or the U.S. House of Representatives, Tom Emmer, joining us on the Victory Hour. The weeks following, we will have Angie Craig on the show from the other side of the aisle, hear what she might have to say about how the Democrats are driving this country into the ground. Yeah, maybe she'll try to defend it. I'll have my thoughts. You know I will. I will pull no punches. Dean Phillips, presidential candidate, Dean Phillips will be on the show a couple of weeks after that. So it is the continuation of our congressional parade, as today we have Congressman Pete Stauber from Northeast Minnesota. He handles, represents the 8th Congressional District, which is the Arrowhead region, all the way down to, where is it, Anoka?
All the way down to Forest Lake and Hugo area.
Forest Lake and Hugo, right, you know, right on the northern border there, the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities. Pete, you know, we talked about crime, law enforcement, and the destruction of our justice system, both at the policing level and at the prosecutorial level, and the failure to enforce the laws that were democratically adopted by both local, state, and federal level. And we see this in prominence at the United States border, where the laws are simply not followed. They are fully ignored. And because of that, we have an invasion that is occurring here in the United States, an invasion of elements that we don't have any idea of. Pete, what is it that Congress, you know, Joe Biden says Congress is not doing their job, and because of Congress, this invasion is occurring?
Yeah, I can tell you that, Andrew, this Biden border invasion is unacceptable. And it's because of this administration and Biden's policies. We have the laws there. You have to enforce them. You know, we just impeached Mayorkas, who said we have operational control of the border. That is not true. Andrew, we have over 10 million illegal aliens that have entered this country, and almost 2 million. We don't know who they're gotaways, meaning they crossed the border, and we know through technology or video surveillance. We don't know who they are, what their intentions are, and where they're going. And remember, it just took 26 terrorists to pull off 9/11. Now we're at 10 million have come into our country, 2 million we don't know. Listen, I've been down to the border 3 times, Andrew. Each time that I've gone down there, it gets worse. I went to see Tucson, Arizona, the Tucson sector. I saw Obama's border wall, and I saw Trump's border wall. There's a 19-mile section that Biden will not continue. He stopped building the wall, and 80% of the fentanyl that is coming into the United States, 80% comes through that 19-mile stretch. We have, and this is a bipartisan issue. We have Democrat mayors in Sierra Vista. When we went down for the hearing, Andrew said, please shut the border down. It's overrunning our police force. It's overrunning our social services. It's overrunning our hospitals. It's overrunning our schools. We can't handle this. Literally, this Democrat mayor of Sierra Vista said, we need help by stopping this. And Andrew, the president can stop about 80% of this in 5 minutes, and that's by executive order. He can end the catch and release, reinstate, remain in Mexico, and continue the border wall. This is what the Customs and Border Patrol are asking us. These are the professionals saying this is what we need, and Biden refuses to do it. And you know what? I truly believe this is intentional. And here's why I believe this. The state of Texas is trying to secure their own border. Governor Abbott and the National Guard's men and women in Texas said, to the federal government, if you are not going to secure the border, we will. So Governor Abbott brings forth his National Guard to secure the border. And Biden and his Department of Justice sue Texas to not allow them to secure their border. Yes. When we don't have a secure border, we don't have a secure nation. Right now, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, has said the red lights are blinking across this country for terrorism because of Biden's policies.
And it is
red lights are blinking.
It's a blatant failure on the part of the federal government to do its first duty, and that is to protect the citizens of this country. That is to protect the borders of this country. And that failure, we know it's a failure. It's not simply a tweak in policy or a disagreement. It is a complete failure because Donald Trump was able to do it. He was able to do it lock, stock, and barrel. He had a different policy. They simply need to be reinstituted, those policies. And we would be back to a secure border, at which point we could start to write immigration legislation for the longer term. What about
Andrew? We have the ability to allow legal immigration. Built our country, built this beautiful country. We have. If you go down there, thousands and thousands and thousands a day are coming through, not vetted.
Right, completely not.
So, and I will tell you, every state and every community is now a border community, and you can bet Minnesota is one of them. Without question, we know that they're being. Listen, when I left Tucson, Arizona, I was in the Tucson airport. There was 19 illegal aliens with paperwork, with a lanyard around their neck where they're going. They got on the same flight I did and flew to Los Angeles.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's unbelievable. And by the way, for those of you who are in airports quite a bit, the TSA now has a, quote, speed line for illegal aliens. It's a speed line. They don't go on our regular line. They open up an area. Boom. All of them go through. Not even have to show ID, not even knowing if the individual that gives them their name, not even know if it's truthful or not. And so this is not a good situation for our national security. We've got to secure our border. And by the way, we have a northern border too, Andrew. Right. We have a northern border. 362% increase in illegals coming over our northern border. Do you know why? Because they're forced to sit in their stations and in process illegals at the southern border. And that is not right. And these criminals will find there's like water. They'll find the easiest route. And it's just simply unacceptable. And again, this Biden border invasion is unacceptable. It has put every American citizen at risk. And that's why the impeachment of Mayorkas was so important. Now, those impeachment articles are going to be brought back to the Senate, I believe, next week. And Chuck Schumer better hold up his constitutional duty and have a hearing and a jury.
Well, it's certainly a critical statement about the importance of enforcing our laws, particularly when it comes to something as essential as our national security and our borders, which is exactly what this issue is all about. When you don't enforce laws like that, you know, a microcosm of this is not enforcing shoplifting laws. $1,000, if you steal $1,000 in California, they ignore it. Why is that a microcosm? Because it's now open season for criminals. And that's the open border is. It's open season for criminals.
Yeah, and not only that, but we have to look at the drug issue. This fentanyl and others that are coming through, it is killing people in our communities on a daily basis. Any Minnesota law enforcement officer has to give a death notification to unsuspecting parents. That is unacceptable. And you talk about chemical warfare, bringing that amount of fentanyl. When I was down in my second visit to Yuma, Arizona, I saw a table of fentanyl that would kill every American once. Every American. And this happens daily, and it's because of Biden's policies. It's because of this administration will not secure the border, and it's intentional. We know it's intentional, and we have to put a stop to this. And that's why November 5th, the next election, is extremely important. Joe Biden has been on our border. He's been an absolute abject failure. There is no doubt about it. Nobody can defend what he's doing and the harm he is putting our communities and our families in. You cannot defend what he's doing.
Absolutely. We're talking to Congressman Pete Stauber, the 8th Congressional District of the state of Minnesota, Republican, and one-time peace officer. We're talking about crime. We're talking about criminals coming across the border, the failure of our federal government to do its job because of the current administration.
Hey, Andrew, can I just say something real quick?
Sure. Sure, Pete. Go ahead.
The men and women in the blue and brown in the state of Minnesota are some of the best people I know. And what happened in Burnsville and others, it is a tragedy, and I want to let every law enforcement officer and their families know that I have their back with every fiber of my body, because I wore that uniform and I had those boots on just like them.
Well, with the leadership like Pete Stauber, we have not yet fallen off the cliff. We can still turn this thing around. And we need to get the backing of all elected officials to show appreciation and support for those in blue and brown who enforce our laws day to day out on the streets. Respect for that uniform, returning to respect for that uniform, is critical to civilized society. We're going to be right back after this short break and continue our discussion with Congressman Pete Stauber. We're going to turn our attention to foreign policy a bit. We're going to talk about the Middle East, the war in Israel, the war for Western civilization, the war for humanity, which Israel is fighting and is doing so in a more humanitarian way than any military has ever done in the history of warfare. Yet this administration beats up on them, echoing the anti-Semitic UN every step of the way nonetheless. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Go to ParkerDK.com. We're back. It's the Victory Hour. Today we're talking to our special guest, Congressman Pete Stauber, one of the most staunch supporters of the U.S.-Israel relationship, one of the most staunch supporters of law enforcement here in the United States, and one of the most staunch supporters of all of those who want to secure our border and to increase security for all of our citizens, cutting off fentanyl and other criminal elements from coming across the border. Pete, let's turn to the Middle East. I want to comment for a moment on the attitude of the Biden administration toward the state of Israel. Frankly, at shortly after October 7th, the Biden administration came out with strong and strident statements about the U.S. support for Israel. That has, as predicted, and as I predicted on this show, now wavered and waned to the point where he's almost down on his knees, stating that Israel will lose support from the United States if they do not toe the line of what the United States wants them to do. And he is parroting the messaging of Hamas. He is carrying the messaging of Hamas, the terrorist organization, as well as the UN and other anti-Israel and anti-Semitic entities around the world. But the reality is that humanitarian aid by Israel was enormous in February of this year, and it has only gone up 50% in March. 5,100 truckloads of humanitarian aid delivered in March, up 50% from February. Food up 50% from February, from 2,158 truckloads to 3,239. Medical supplies, same. Other aid, same. But you know what has also happened, Pete, is more than 20% of that humanitarian aid has not been distributed by the UN. It's all been delivered, and it's sitting on trucks. So the more they bring in, the more sits. And the UN, whether doing it intentionally or not, is interfering with the humanitarian aid. But Tom Cotton said, and I'd like your opinion on this, he said this week, why does Israel have to provide any humanitarian aid into Gaza? Why is that Israel's responsibility? Did that happen during the war in World War II against the Axis enemies by the U.S.? No.
Andrew, October 7th really changed the world. There's no doubt about it. Terrorist group Hamas entered Israel and slaughtered over 1,200 innocent people. It was a game changer. And Prime Minister Netanyahu says, we have to eliminate terrorism. Terrorism around the world must be eliminated. Look what happened on 9/11 to us. And the fact of the matter is, Israel is our best ally in the Middle East. We exchange information. We support each other. Israel has actually given the United States intelligence that has stopped terrorist attack on our homeland. And people have to recognize that. That's the relationship we have. And when you have the President of the United States and the leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, telling the Israeli people that Netanyahu is now of no use to them, they need to, quote, have different elections. Can you imagine if an ally said that to us on September 12th, 2001? Unbelievable. And Israel is Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis. Israel is under attack. And
thousands of missiles, Pete. You know, people don't talk about them because they get intercepted by Iron Dome, etc. But every day there are missiles being fired into Israel. How long would the United States wait before completely leveling an enemy that was doing that?
Here. You know, the fact of the matter is I've been over to Israel. I personally.
Oh, I know you have.
I personally saw Iron Domes and talked to members of IDF. And listen, that Iron Dome technology is the late 80s. That's the Reagan era technology that is keeping the Israeli people safe right now. And I have to tell you that it's really disappointing to have president of the United States taking the stance he has. And, you know, Andrew, you mentioned the United Nations. We now know in the United Nations Relief Workers Association, there were actually hundreds of people employed at the UN, United Nations Relief Workers Association, that were Hamas terrorists in the UN. We know that because through the investigations, they were involved. They were Hamas terrorists being paid by the UN, being paid by U.S. taxpayers. And so, you know, my Prime Minister Netanyahu says that they're not going to stop until every terrorist is taken out and stopped. And so, as this war moves forward, Israel must know that the United States stands strong as their ally. And this, my next comment pains me to say this, but I believe that Joe Biden is not supporting Israel as strong as he should for political reasons, because he's losing the state of Michigan. That's my opinion. He's losing the state of Michigan, and he needs, you know, the Palestinians and others who are living in Michigan. He needs their support. And again, I don't say that lightly. This is just my opinion, that he realizes Michigan is a swing state and he's losing it right now, and he needs to get it back. And that's an awful reason to not support our best and biggest ally in the Mideast.
One final comment, Pete, about the Palestinian-Israeli war in Gaza. I have often repeated that this is a war against Hamas. Hamas are Palestinians, all of Hamas. Are Palestinians. The Palestinian people have been polled a number of times about their views of October 7th. 85 to 90% across the Palestinian territories believe that there were no war crimes committed on October 7th. That is what the polling shows. In addition, post-October 7th, 75% of Palestinians supported what occurred on October 7th. And as we all know, Islamic Jihad and Hamas have both said they would repeat October 7th again and again. And next time, it may not just be in Israel, because you know their view of the United States as well.
It's very sad. That's a very, very sad to hear that. And you know, Andrew, just a couple days ago in Michigan, there were chants, "Death to America, death to America." That is appalling. And when the president of the United States cannot come out in strong condemnation of those words, shame on him. We have people shouting death to America, and he doesn't come out strong against those words. Are you kidding me? We want peace. Peace is our goal. On October 6th, there was relative peace throughout the world because of Joe Biden's lack of leadership. There's a tinderbox across this world, and right now, there's no leadership from this administration, and the world saw it in the pullout of Afghanistan. How this president pulled out of Afghanistan was an absolute abject disaster, period. And nobody can refute that. So I want the United States to continue to be a strong ally of our best friend, Israel, and you can count as long as I'm privileged. I would push this country to ensure that that our best ally has what it needs to survive. And
this Congressman Pete Stauber, unwavering supporter of the U.S.-Israel relationship, and his opposition could not be stronger to President Joe Biden's failure to support law enforcement, failure to support our border and a secure border, and failure to support full-blown support for our strongest ally in the Middle East, the state of Israel. Pete Stauber in the United States Congress is a voice of opposition to Joe Biden's failures on each and every one of those items. Pete, before we have to go, and take yet another break. I wanted to get your thoughts about what we've got about a minute. Get your thoughts about what's going on here in the state of Minnesota and what you think about Governor Tim Walz's work.
Well, I can tell you that the last legislative session, people in D.C. would ask me, Pete, what is happening in the great state of Minnesota because of the legislation that's going forward? You know, the Democrat Socialists of America have an 18-point legislative agenda. Last year, only the state of Minnesota and the legislature enacted all 18 of their points.
I did not know that. Unbelievable.
California couldn't do it, and New York didn't do it. Minnesota went farther left than California and New York on the Democrat Socialists of America's wish list. And that is unacceptable. And what I will tell Minnesotans, hang on, help is on its way. Hang on, help is on its way. We can do better. Yep.
Well, that's Pete Stauber, Congressman, 8th Congressional District here in the great state of Minnesota. He says help is on its way because, boy, if you looked at the last legislative session and what this governor was pushing, it's crazy stuff. And the DSA is, you know, that's his base of his party in Minnesota, the DSA for Tim Walz. That's what it is. Pete, thank you so much for joining us on the Victory Hour. Always love having you, and we'll have you on again soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Thank you. Pete Stauber, 8th Congressional District, State of Minnesota, and great congressman, great spokesman for northeastern Minnesota and all the residents up there in the Arrowhead region. Well, we're going to be back for our final segment, as we'll give you an update on what's happening, the war in the Middle East, and talk a little about hockey. Yeah, we got to talk hockey. I know that's important to Pete Stauber and to our guest next week, Tom Emmer, as they've got quite the competition going on. Until then, though, I'm going to comment on an article I saw this week regarding hockey and the law. Very interesting. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Go to ParkerDK.com. Victory Hour. I'm Andrew Parker, and we thank once again Pete Stauber for joining us this week on the show. I want to talk for a bit about the war in the Middle East, the disgraceful nature of protests here in the United States, and how, you know, what the truth is, what the facts really are as it relates to how this war is being prosecuted by the state of Israel. Just in the last week, there has been increased aid access points and a surge of resources into the Gaza Strip. Israel has done this voluntarily. Israel has done this because of their morality, because of their humanitarian attitudes, even when it comes to war. So when Tom Cotton said this past week during a Senate hearing to Defense Secretary Austin, who was haranguing the Israelis, demanding additional humanitarian aid of Israel if they expect support from the United States, Cotton said, "Why is it that it's your position that Israel must provide humanitarian aid to its enemy, must supply its enemy that supports their ongoing fight against Israel, that supports their ongoing attempts to murder Israelis? Missiles are being launched into Israel daily. There are thousands that have been launched, each one of them with the intent of maiming and murdering Israelis. Beyond that, suicide bombing attempts and other terrorist activities have been attempted virtually daily into Israel proper by various terrorist organizations during this war. Why should Israel supply its enemies to allow them to continue to do that? Why should they not do the opposite and blockade until complete surrender and return of hostages? Hostages who have been held for 6 months, more than 6 months. Every hour of every day, excruciating terror for their families, for their friends, for Israelis across the country, as well as those being held most particularly. So why should they not be blockaded, completely destroyed, until they lay down their arms and return the hostages? It prolongs this war. The Joe Biden administration policy of appeasement supports Hamas. It just does. And anyone who views it differently, I'd like to explain it. Explain how it doesn't. Completely supports them. And if you are of a mind to support Hamas, then openly say so. I support the holding of the hostages. I support the attempt to murder and maim Israelis. And I support the movement of Hamas and the Palestinians who support that. But if you support Western civilization and morality and oppose what occurred on October 7th and has occurred in some respects since, and certainly as it relates to the hostages, then the policies of Joe Biden are just stupid. Not just stupid, but they're immoral and they're counter to peace. In fact, they are the biggest supporter of war and counter to peace. So I read this article this week. Playing hockey makes me a better lawyer. Very interesting article. Pete Stauber, who was on the show today, great hockey player. And next week, Tom Emmer will be on the show. Great hockey player as well. I'm going to ask him. Does it make him a better congressman? Maybe. You've been listening. Until next week, with Andrew Parker, I wish you a great week.
Daniels Keyboard, Wise Counsel, winning results. For more information, go to parkerdk.com. Until next time, he leaves you with these words from Winston Churchill. All the great things are simple, and many can be expressed in a single word. Freedom, justice, honor, duty. mercy, and hope.